Good evening. I'm Donald Trump, and you're listening to Pop, Not Soda. It's really not pop. It isn't. It isn't. It used to be, but all the Mexicans, they took the good soda. We used to have actual sugar in Coca-Cola. Now, if you want that, you have to get the Mexico Coca-Cola. They're killing us, and I'm going to stop it when I am president. That I will tell you. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So what I got to ask you, how was the drive from L.A.?
You know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Really?
It was sweltering hot because not a cloud in the sky lately. I was in Long Beach.
Driving the 5?
91 to the 5. The 91 to the 605. Okay, 91.
All the 5s. Just
405 and then the 5.
This is a true Californian right here. He knows how to jump the roads.
Yes.
Yeah. You do not do the 5 all the way down.
No.
No, and that's why even my phone was like, hey, I know a quicker route, just saying. And I ended up taking the 405, which was considerably better.
Yeah, it's got to look like an algebra equation, you know?
Yeah.
Your route to get somewhere in California.
And I'll tell you,
or else you're not doing it right.
I don't know if you've ever been on the 91, but that one may be the worst of them all.
Yeah, that's the one like into Irvine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I've definitely been on that.
Oh, I had a show at Aces in, what is it, like a Marietta, Riverside kind of area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was
Winchester?
Like 2.5 hours late because of the 91 being as bad as it was. RVD had already been like way lit. I was opening for him that night. It was, oh, well, we still had a good show.
John Allen, thanks for coming on, brother.
Hey, thanks
yeah.
for having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. And welcome to the parking situation here, too.
Yes.
Apparently, that was a nightmare, too.
Well,
fucking A, right?
Yeah, I should be more used to it, you know, being in L.A. now. But I forget sometimes that Hillcrest is very comfortable with jamming things in tight spaces. So.
Hi-yo! Mark it on the board, folks.
John Allen,
ba-boom.
I got to ask you, because you are an extremely good impressionist.
Thank you.
What would Razor Ramon think about the North Park parking situation?
Razor Ramon.
Hey, yo. Listen, Chico. Something happens to my car, something gonna happen to you.
This is why.
But don't worry, because there's no place to put it, huh? We probably won't cross that bridge.
Oh, man. John, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, this is really, really nice. So you're down here for Comic-Con, right?
Comic-Con and just getting out of L.A. for a while and, you know, seeing some people I don't usually see. And my annual performance review, I guess, on Pop Not Soda.
Absolutely.
Hey, we welcomed you back.
Yeah, it's going to be a tradition now.
You're not seasonal.
Like
you're
every,
not a seasonal man.
Yeah, every Comic-Con, you're coming here. And
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what are you looking forward to seeing? Because Comic-Con's down here. It's drive-in traffic nuts in San Diego. I haven't seen San Diego this much of a mess in a long freaking time.
You know, I understand that they've got like free Wi-Fi throughout the gas lamp.
Is that what's causing the traffic?
I don't know if it is. Well, I'd imagine
into the Comic-Con?
The internet traffic.
I'd imagine I'm seeing a lot more people live streaming on Facebook. And I'd imagine, like, because of the Wi-Fi, they probably all got selfie sticks and all pretending they're a TV star.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a part of it. Like, get out of the way! Yeah, oh, look at this guy over here. You know, like, let's get a shot of that. Like this, if you subscribe, comment, quote.
Like 10,000 Ash Ketchums down
yeah.
there, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
yeah right. Just going around. So what are you looking forward to seeing down there? Because, I mean, you drove from L.A. coming down. People come from all over the U.S.
Just, you know, the positivity and the energy of it, man. I tell you, when you've been in... living in some of the less savory parts of L.A. as I have been. It's nice to go from, like, crazy crackhead on a corner yelling at you for no reason to, oh, look, Batman. That's different, you know?
He's not pretending to be Batman. He's actually dressed up like
yeah,
Batman. This is
yeah.
actually a different thing.
And right. I'll probably see if I can buy some Rick and Morty merchandise or something like that. I don't know. Something fun.
That
yes,
show is blowing
go.
Up.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yes. It's so great.
I love Justin Roiland before Rick and Morty. He was also, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Adventure Time.
Yeah.
But
oh,
he's Lemon Grab on that, who's like this autistic lemon
no
prince that's
crap.
Like freaked out by everything.
Yeah.
Like, recondition. 3 hours dungeon. And then that's basically, you take that and make you loosen it up. No, oh, geez, now it's Morty. Don't be a baby, Morty. You'll avoid dying all the time. Just do it here. Oh, geez, Rick.
We're going to have like a Rick and Morty episode on the show, Bryce.
Yeah. And it's going to probably be just as good.
There you
hey,
go.
Mr. Meeseeks, look at me.
Which is by far the best episode,
yeah.
I think. That is one of my favorite episodes.
That,
no,
is a good episode.
They had
absolutely.
No idea that was going to be as popular
I know,
as
right?
it was. And then it just, now it's become this big thing.
Because when you think about it, that's on another level. I mean, that writing was almost like Futurama at the point. Like, that was a higher level Futurama where I was like, man, this show is definitely hitting a different audience.
Yeah, it, much like Futurama, they pack a lot of jokes in. There's really not a lot of, like, wasted lines or anything. But it's just far more out there because I'm sure they're, you know, lighting up before they're writing the so much of it is improvised, and then they actually go back and rewrite certain things because something that was improvised will work better than what they maybe originally planned.
Oh, no way. That's
brilliant.
I didn't know that.
Definitely.
That's awesome, yeah.
So it's almost like a Larry David animation kind of thing?
Well, I mean, like, you know, they don't start animating it until they finalized all the vocal tracks.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, like, there's a lot of rewrites based upon whatever just comes off the top of their heads when they're improvising in there.
And we're talking to a voice actor, by the way, too, so he knows the behind the scenes of how this whole production goes down.
A little bit. I mean, as a fan of the show, I try to, you know, listen when he does interviews and stuff like that. I'd love to be on it someday. Who knows if that'll ever happen. The closest I got was they had something where you could, like, donate $10 towards a charity, and I think one of the prizes was being on the episode. And I was like, please. I know it's not the most, like, prideful way to get on the show, but I'll take it if it happens.
Knowing Rick and Morty, too, they wouldn't have lent you a voice role. They probably would have popped, like, a real-life photograph of you or something on there.
Maybe.
Like, would have been something so meta.
I think the gimmick was, like, you were going to be, like, the voice of, like, an alien ambassador that gets, like, one line and then Rick kills him or something like that. And I was like, cool, I'll take it. That was basically what I did on DBZ, just the one-liner. So keep the gimmick going.
That's one of the stronger Adult Swim shows that's down there at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I hear there's another one that they just debuted the trailer of where it's like a guy who's like an insurance accountant in a world
full of
superheroes.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name, but I hear that went well.
Okay.
And then on the anime side of things, the dub of One Punch Man, the trailer, announced that's going to be on Toonami over at Anime Expo, I think, which was recently as well. So
it's crazy how much anime is there. Anime, cartoons, things like that. I mean, you'd think that Comic-Con, from what it was rooted in,
sure,
it was just paper.
Yeah.
Paper art, things like that. I mean, yeah, comic books. And then all of a sudden it gets into this...
just expanded into more
this
things.
Movie territory, television, all this stuff, and now they're kind of going back to like it's like a hybrid route.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the anime, that's, I think, the most appealing thing to like the rooted people.
Well, I mean,
that are
once
fans
you let
comic.
TV into it, I mean, it's just like an open playing field.
It really
opinion.
Is, because like everything in
exactly.
some form or another.
Yeah, because I went to Comic-Con for probably 10 years straight when I was a kid.
But I guess the one tie-in with the anime and comic book that still kind of keeps it close to the original message is so many animes start as a manga, which of course is a Japanese comic book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I was going to lead up to is, I mean, it used to be just all comic books.
Yeah.
And like some playing cards were introduced, and then they let video games in. But yeah, no, I totally agree that... anime is rooted in, you know, like the graphic novel arena, and
that's typically how it starts, because the a manga obviously doesn't take as much money to produce. It's just, you know, drawings and then distribution, whereas, you know, and then if the manga does well, they're like, oh, people would watch this if it was a cartoon, so then they're willing to take the risk on spending the money on animating it, voicing it, scoring it. And then, you know, that's kind of how it usually goes.
Yeah.
It's never, I don't think, I could be wrong on this, and probably somebody will correct me if I am, of course, but I'm pretty sure it's never the other way around, where it starts as an anime and then turns into a manga.
Manga.
Maybe Pokemon, which started as like a game, and then they turn it into these other things.
Yeah, I could kind of see that happening, but other than that, that's not the traditional route at all.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the traditional route. Being excited about things you're going to see at Comic-Con, is there anything that you're just like, what the hell is this doing here?
Is Twilight still a thing anymore? Is it?
I sure hope not.
Vampires and werewolves?
I hope all those kids grew up and now they're following Taylor Swift.
You know, I think, if I'm thinking about it right, I think Vampire Diaries is there.
Is that like the new Twilight, or is that like an offshoot from...
I have no idea if it's related to...
I think that's a TV show, right?
It's a TV show. It's on CW, which they changed.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's the old WB, the old UPN former.
Yeah, I just remember like 2009, 2010, how many signs I saw like Twilight ruined Comic-Con, and some fan got hit by a car on their way to a Twilight panel. That was a whole thing.
Was it a Twilight fan?
Yeah, they were. Twitard, as I think was the vernacular. Which sucks, because, like, imagine getting one of those things on your windshield.
All right. I mean, you can't buff that out.
I heard it takes a lot of cleaning.
Only sun.
Yeah, only sun. But yeah, so
a lot of glitter. Yeah.
But we have, okay, it doesn't look like vampires, lichens, werewolves, or anything like that are there. Ton of zombies, though.
Yeah.
Walking Dead.
But I mean, yeah, because Walking Dead still is as hot as ever.
You a fan of Walking Dead?
I am, yeah. I watch it. I sometimes don't know why, because it just bums you out so damn much.
So depressing. Absolutely.
Like there was one episode I was watching with Christina, and then, like, they're on this last season, like, everything that could go wrong does go wrong. It was like, I think it was they were leaving the place, and they were trying to pretend that they were zombies, but then the kid freaks out.
Right, yep.
And as they're ripping that somebody open, I was like, "Who's is it HBO or who's the network?"
AMC.
Yeah,
AMC.
Like, hey, you know, thanks AMC, thanks for that. You know, we started to like these people, and you just said no, just got my hopes up to kill them off, right?
Yeah, Sunday night, appreciate it.
Yeah,
really end my week off strong.
Right, right.
We snagged the biggest celebrity for the interview, John Allen.
Who?
But. John Allen.
Oh, me.
Yeah. Who are you stoked to see, though, down at Comic-Con, though? If you would like to run into anybody, I mean, somebody that you've heard rumored down there. I mean, both of you guys. Brian.
I'd like to see how Virgil is doing since Lonely Virgil became a meme. I think that would be, like, has it helped his business? Are people even, it can't be any worse. I mean, people already didn't really give a crap he was there, and that's how Lonely Virgil became a thing. But, like, now that people are more informed that, dude, he's going to hustle you, he's going to ask for your name, sign the promo, and then say, hey, I already signed it, $30. So, you know, now that people are informed about that, I just wonder, like, how that... It can't be cheap to rent a booth down there. So...
I can't imagine.
He just flies out to all these places and just eat parking lots sometimes.
And if you can look that up, too. Like, look it up on YouTube, yeah. Lonely Virgil. Because it's just a guy that's, like, basically...
He was
trolling these conventions.
Yeah. He was Million Dollar Man's bodyguard on WWF back in the day in the 80s. And now he's just like... God, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But other than that, I'm actually pretty uninformed as far as what's going on this year. I'd like to see, like, the worst cartoons ever panel, because that's always hilarious. I'll try to catch some of the Masquerade and the Sail Pavilion Party before I got to go back to L.A. And
that's this weekend, right?
Yeah, Comic-Con is this weekend.
I'm sorry. Because we're recording. God damn it, guys. Yeah. We're pulling the curtain a little bit. We record on Thursdays, but the big stuff is happening Friday, Saturday. But that thing is on Saturday, I believe, right?
The Masquerade is traditionally on Saturday, yeah.
Okay. Is there a lot of cosplaying in the Masquerade, or is it like a legit Masquerade?
No, it's people that put their best foot forward, and sometimes they'll put together these little sketches and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll record the audio, it'll play on the PA, and then they'll kind of lip sync to it. Some people just come out, they pose with their costume and they leave, and there's usually one that, like, gets insanely over, like probably 8 years ago or more than that, there was this guy that did the Mighty Mouse bit, Kaufman-esque. Okay. Here I come. Right. And that, like, anytime anybody else came out, they would just chant, Mouse! Mouse! That's all they wanted. You know, like, kind of like the Daniel Bryan Yes craze.
And imagine a dead mouse just comes out and everybody's like, oh.
Yeah. And then they brought it
just
back.
Just dropped the beat already.
So, as the guy's announcing the next act, number 34, Mouse! 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 And, like, they had to bring it back, like, the next year because it was so popular. And the closest thing I saw to that was, like, some little kid came out and started, like, doing Beast Boy from Teen Titans, but he was breakdancing. Like, that's the closest I saw to, like, the Mighty Mouse boom of the Comic-Con Masquerade.
Okay.
I haven't, you know, we'll see what the next big thing is.
John just had the biggest eye roll I think I've ever seen in my
life.
Well,
I mean, it's just, it's crazy how the fans are at these things sometimes like that. I wanted to do one, and one of these years, I've been talking about it for, like, probably 15 years, maybe next year is the year, where I want to come out. And all I do is just, like, take, oh, look, here's a vintage Spider-Man #1. Ah, he ripped it. Oh, but here comes Pikachu. No, he punched him out. Like, who is this a-hole just, like, destroying everything we love?
This is the comic book Antichrist. Yeah, right? Coming through.
Invite
him back.
I was going to call myself El Presidente and, like, be a masked wrestler and just ruin every, like, here comes Legend of Zelda Link. No, no, I killed him too. F you.
Can we get in a, what would
the real One Punch Man.
Yeah, what would Donald Trump think about the number one issue of Spider-Man?
I mean, you know, it's the number one. It's the first one, right? It's a classic. It's really good. I have like 15 of them. I really do. They're all at my tower, and that I just do. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I love his girlfriend, Mary June. I think he, I like his, who was the guy that he fought?
Hobgoblin?
Of course, Hobgoblin. I knew that I was testing you.
Yeah. Such a poser.
Oh, man. Who knew? Donald, big Spidey fan.
Yeah.
Are any of you guys excited about the Aliens panel?
What? There's going to be aliens there?
There's a 30 years Alien panel. They're bringing back James Cameron, which I think is kind of ironic because 3 years ago they didn't acknowledge the 30-year mark of Alien.
Are they going to make?
I think it's just
one?
A panel. Oh well, I mean they're teasing the Prometheus or the Alien Covenant, like the Prometheus
James
sequel or anything.
Cameron's
like.
Not involved in that, right?
No, not at all.
It's still Ridley Scott, right?
But there's it's still Ridley Scott, yeah. But they're trying to do this like James Cameron. I think like mutual promotion with
just
this kind of thing.
James Cameron being James Cameron.
Yeah. I've seen ads. Like I've never seen this before where like somebody paid for ads to just advertise when and where a panel is happening.
It's crazy, isn't
like,
it?
Like Mr. Robot or something. There's a lot of ads just not for the show or the movie or whatever it is, but for the panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Christian Slater was required to pay for those.
Yeah.
Came out of his hair gel budget.
But I do understand why they're doing that because everybody's, you know, fighting to make sure that theirs is the thing they go to. I do. I'm a guest at this convention in LA called, NinjaCon, excuse me. Forgot for a sec because we're having a nice margarita. And I did a panel.
Bud Light-arita.
They asked me to do, they asked me to do a panel on pro wrestling last year. And because they changed the location and of what room it was in and stuff, we didn't have that many people that came. But this year, I took the flyer and actually like advertised the panel throughout the convention place, which I'd never done before. And then it was packed. So, like, I kind of get the mentality of why you would go to that trouble to make sure that yours was the big thing at Comic-Con and try to make it seem that way.
I personally, and, you know, you guys, I want to hear your thoughts, too. And maybe, John, it's a little bit different because you've actually been on the other side.
Okay.
But I just don't see the draw in a panel. Like, I don't want to sit 30 rows back.
It's a chance to talk to God. No, it really is.
Hey, James Cameron!
You know, these are people that, like...
You rock.
You would never think you would ever get the chance, especially, you know, as people that aren't in the entertainment industry. Like, the odds of ever getting to meet, like, Matt Groening or something like that. But here you have a chance to see them live, and maybe even if you have the balls to do it, step up to a microphone and ask him a question. So I think that's it.
But in these... Okay, so I guess with Brian, because I haven't been there in a few years, too. Like, with these giant, like... I mean, these take up convention halls.
Yeah.
These things
literally,
are...
Literally, yeah.
Like, huge.
Like, and they fill up, and there's still, like, 1,000 people trying to get in.
Is it worth... Like, what's the line to get into questions for, like, Matt Groening or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't get it either. Like there's people I know that are in line right now, I think, to try and get into the Walking Dead panel.
That's
crazy. And they're like, John, do you want to do that? I said, no. I'll just watch it on TV. I don't feel like wasting an entire day standing in line. I do that enough in traffic in L.A.
I have to ask the contractually obligated Jeffrey Dean Morgan who he killed.
Sometimes there's the draw of like, look, they're going to show a trailer. They're going to show scenes that, you know, you're the first people to ever see it. And I guess that kind of makes you feel special.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could get that.
But with The Walking Dead, I'm glad you brought that up because... If you haven't seen the finale, spoiler alert, somebody dies. But like going to the panel, what can they talk about? Because they're not going to reveal
probably not,
anything.
Because then it goes on the internet instantly, and it's spoiled for the rest of the world. Yeah.
And I mean, like they just talked about, and it wasn't at Comic-Con, but I think one of the guys from Rogue One just kind of did an interview, and they didn't, you could tell that they clearly didn't coach the actors for this interview, and then all of a sudden he let out a spoiler or whatever. To think that Walking Dead isn't coached to just be extremely tight-lipped in this Comic-Con convention is, like,
doesn't make it worth it. I think what it is, you know, they'll be talking on things that maybe have happened, and they can, you know, but maybe there were some questions left unanswered a little bit. There's certain things that they can talk about, like what was their mindset. I mean, the same as when you're on The Talking Dead. You know, like, once somebody knows that, like, the characters died, they can say, what was it like knowing that this was going to be the last time you were on the show and stuff like that? And fans really dig.
I could see that, yeah.
The fans really dig finding out the psychology behind it, you know?
Yeah, sure. I could see that. I could see that.
Otherwise,
for sure.
Otherwise, that show wouldn't exist. I've never seen that before, where it's like, you have the show, you've already spent an hour watching that, and now another hour just talking about what you just saw.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
And now every major show is doing it.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they have a ton of it. Because, like, that's what it always, and I'm glad we got the insight on it, because to me, getting to these large conventions, like these large panels before, yeah, all it seemed like was I was like paying a ticket to get into a stadium, and then like 40,000 people are just watching,
and there's,
you know, one particular
person.
There's
things you can buy, I guess, you know, but yeah.
One of a kind kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
And are those inside of the panels sometimes?
It's already too much of a cluster fudge, you know, like, so if you had like the shopping in the same room as the, when there's already like a cavalcade of people trying to get in and out. No, on the bottom level, if you've ever been in the convention center for anything else, the bottom floor is where the exhibit hall is, and then all the panels are like on the next level up.
Escalator
or the
third
level.
Okay,
yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then the autographs are either people will be signing at booths in the exhibit hall, or up on the sale pavilion is usually where they have the autograph signings.
Okay. So. This sounds so out there, but do you think, is Todd McFarlane still doing stuff?
Good question.
I think so.
I think he is, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you can have the kind of success he had and then, like, not still be involved.
Yeah, just
in
not
some
try
way
to be in the line.
As long as he's alive, yeah. You'd still want to, if you're a creative person, you still want to create.
That makes sense, too, because, I mean, I think he was doing, like, toys, like, action
right
figures,
sure,
at some point.
Like, we're talking
like
the
that
Spawn guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
I mean, just really hope, and I know he took a lot of shit from his involvement in the first one, but I really hope they remake that and do it right.
Spawn, yeah. That's so weird. I was just talking
movie
about somebody with that the other night. Somebody, a friend of mine thought, it was Shady, actually. He was talking to me about how he was let down by it because Spawn needed to be an R-rated movie. And
yes.
And I think it was PG-13.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Same with Wolverine. If you're going to make a solo Wolverine movie, it's got to be R. And I know they're doing it with this next one.
Yeah.
But I mean, they should have been doing it this whole time.
Well, I mean, geez, those films, both of the Wolverine origins, neither was good. I don't think adding a little bit more gore would have saved it, but, you know.
That's true. A good director plus letting them run.
Yeah, let's say
movie
you saw more graphic violence and sex. Okay, you still ruined Deadpool for
yeah
years.
Yeah, I was going to say,
guys,
that's all I was watching it for was
yeah
Weapon X Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Weapon 11 Deadpool.
And then they sewed his mouth shut and just ruined the whole fucking
yeah
game,
like,
right?
Here's the guy that we love because he talks so much. Let's make him not talk.
They
yeah
basically Stone Cold Steve Austin him when they got him into the WWE.
Yeah.
Like, that was what they did. Like, here's mm-hmm yeah here's another guy.
And unfortunately,
here's a great,
no course
let's, here's a great talker. Let's just have Million Dollar Man talk for yeah him. And then, I guess he talks about this on his show where he did commentary, and finally Vince could see that here's a guy that can talk on his own, and he got the chance and he
Austin
ran with it. Yes, Steve
yeah
Austin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, King of the Ring.
Yeah.
What is it, 96? Yeah.
That's all you got to go back to.
That's all it is.
Just took off from there.
Yeah. Yep. Let me get
Stone Cold Rattler.
Because he was talking before that, too. Was the feud with Bret Hart before or after the King of the Ring stuff? I can't remember.
So I think that was actually after. Because
yeah,
I think that was
too
upon the push of Bret Hart getting a little soured with McMahon.
Yeah.
And he was kind of on the way out, because I
yeah
think that was them. Because if I remember it right, and this is kind of a non sequitur, but if I remember it right, I think that Hart recalls seeing the fans root for a heel over him when
yeah
he was fighting Austin and going, you know, the industry's kind of changing.
He was
right.
He was taking
yeah
a break after, and we're making fun of dorks, but here we are talking about wrestling trivia. But no, I think what happened was, yeah, Bret took like a year off after he dropped the belt to Shawn at WrestleMania
yep
12, and then he saw the rise of Steve Austin and said, I want to work that guy. And that's what brought Bret back for Survivor Series 96 or 97.
Yeah, I think it was 96 or 97. But that's where
yeah
Austin's bleeding.
Not the Survivor Series
oh
match,
no,
but
yeah
then when they did WrestleMania 13.
That was the
double turn where Bret mm went heel and Stone Cold went face.
Dropping the chair on him and all
yep
that stuff. Yeah.
Ken Shamrock as guest referee. I remember all that.
Do you think, okay, on
wow
that note, do you think somebody could
Shamrock
make a
as guest referee.
Do you think somebody could make, with how shitty wrestling writing is right now for
mm-hmm
WWE, do you think somebody can make a comic book and actually do it better?
A comic book of pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Well, I know there's like a Lucha comic book that I saw them promoting at Comic-Con last year.
Is it superhero-y or is it just legitimate?
Yeah, okay. Kind of superhero. Are you talking more like at the height of the Attitude Era, like Mankind had his own comic book, Undertaker had his own comic book? Are you talking about like that?
Is it fictional or is it still...
It was still like Undertaker is like fighting people in an alley and stuff like that. It was, okay. Yeah, it's a comic book.
Okay, know? Okay. Yeah, I mean,
he gets done with the show, takes a shower, and goes fight some criminals.
Here I am
to
try to argue with some vein of reality for wrestling.
If I understand your question, are you saying like, are the characters of today's WWE, are any of them defined enough that you could make a compelling comic book?
I would. That's exactly the question, yeah. Like,
Well, you know, Undertaker's still there, and they've done a comic book with him before.
I know they did it like a Scooby-Doo series with Cena like a year and a half ago. I don't
and
know.
Flintstones, how that was. Too. They did a Flintstones one.
Yeah, holy shit.
Oh, my God. And they were both so...
John Cena.
Eye-rollingly crap.
Right? Can't see me.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, the only... There's a couple of guys that are still very character-y. They try to go with more of a realism kind of thing these days, but like a Bray Wyatt...
That'd be good.
Somebody like that. You know, Kane every once in a while is still a demon. Sometimes he's just a bald, tall guy.
Maybe right. Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
I just think they have too many characters now where I just don't see the attachment.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why I think a part of why they're doing that brand split now is because the roster was, you know, there's no really breakout stars that like, if you're not a wrestling fan, you would know who they are or anything. But they do have a lot of people, especially because of NXT, you know.
And we'll talk about them getting pulled up. We got Brian's movie review. Brian, what movie are you got?
Well, in light of Comic-Con this week, I thought it'd be appropriate to watch a superhero film based in comic lore.
No whammies.
Yeah, I invested 3 hours into Batman versus Superman, the extended edition, because 2.5 hours wasn't long enough. Zack Snyder needed to dump on another 30 minutes.
Big whammies.
Yeah, the ultimate fucking whammy.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the WWE draft, and then we got an exclusive interview with John Allen. Catch you on the flip side.
Hey, everybody. John Allen here. Hope you're enjoying listening to the podcast. If you don't hate me being on the podcast and you'd like to, you know, join in on my adventures, you can go to www.johnallencomedy.com, JonAllenComedy.com. I am on Facebook at facebook.com/JohnAllenVO, Twitter at KingJohnAllen. I don't want to explain that. And be sure to see me on Freak Show Wrestling in Las Vegas, Nevada, August 27th. Oh, Instagram too. At the John Allen. Bye.
Hello there. This is Christopher Lee letting you know that the next segment is Brian's homeless movie review. He has no place to hang his hat, but he has several opinions on film. A very sad.
Well, guys, if you're not slitting your wrists after that announcement by our close friend, Mr. Lee, listen up, because it's time, like you heard, for my movie review. And this week, I did want to stay in the comic book universe, so I choked down all 3 hours and 2 minutes of Batman versus Superman extended edition that was R-rated for some reason, and the only thing that I saw in the extended edition that was new after doing some research was Ben Affleck's ass. That's literally the only reason why it was rated R. Thanks, Zack Snyder. Appreciate you. So I hated this fucking movie. Like, I absolutely hated this movie, and it really hurts because Batman and Superman are, like, two of my iconic figures that I grew up loving, and I hated the Man of Steel. I thought that was garbage, mostly because Henry Cavill's a terrible actor, but also because I don't think they did a very good job retelling that story. I'm all for, you know, reimagining a character, whether that be origination stories or just, you know, different plot lines, but like, do it well, you know? Like, don't have Russell Crowe running around as himself as the father of Superman, like, that drove me crazy. And then that whole storyline with Lois Lane. And then same with this movie. Like, Lois Lane, she should have been dead about 99 times in these last two movies. Like, give me a fucking break. Every other human being on Earth is either, you know, hundreds of miles away from what's happening, or their neck would have been snapped in, you know, nanoseconds. But not Lois Lane. Nope. She's running around those high heels and you can't catch her. So, yeah, I mean, this movie, like, they did so many things that I hated about this movie. You didn't need a Batman origin story. You didn't need to spend the last 20 minutes, and I'm going to throw out a lot of spoilers because this movie's been out for a long time. You didn't need to spend the last 20 minutes focusing on the death of Superman and then have the last cutscene being him coming back to life. Like, that just angered me to no end.
But Brian, it gives people hope that Superman will return. Starting to see why you're a homeless. Sorry, I just left my hat. I'll go now. Get my parking validated.
The fuck out of here, Christopher.
I'm leaving.
Go drink some Ovaltine. And
I will. Fuck you.
So so many unnecessary things. Like, the way they did Doomsday in the movie, if you're not familiar with Doomsday, it's the character that actually kills Superman in the comic book universe, which, you know, sort of happens here. But, again, you know, they just, they give you that inkling that he's not so dead.
Well, surely you liked the Lex Luthor. You liked that, didn't you?
Are you lost again, Christopher? I thought we showed you
it
out.
It turns out the hat I... This isn't the hat I left. This is. Sorry. Okay. Now I'm going for the reels. Goodbye.
So long. Okay, I think he's gone. Okay, I think he's gone for good. I appreciate the question before Mr. Lee took off. I thought Lex Luthor was all right. I thought Jesse Eisenberg did a pretty good job, but... You know, the way that they had his character develop and then his involvement with creating Doomsday, as well as the end, which, like, kind of is going to lead into Justice League and why they need to form and band together to fight the supreme alien evil. And I was saying this earlier, it's a 3-hour movie, but it felt rushed. Because there were so many storylines that were trying to be developed at the same time and then just shoved into like a vacuum at the end of the movie.
Starts to sound like a Zack Snyder movie, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had low expectations going into this, but Zack Snyder somehow dug a few levels beneath me and then just shoved this movie straight at my asshole.
But he works so hard.
God damn it!
Look, my car won't start. I have to wait for my Uber.
Is there no lock on this door?
I haven't.
No.
Dude, he's a locksmith, bro.
You left your window open.
Shit. I did hear that noise like a minute ago. So I got a question for you. I think I've got a series of questions for you. Zack Snyder movies... you can pretty much break it down in a rapid-fire question. John Allen and I are going to throw some questions at you.
Okay.
We want to know, good or bad, Superman versus Batman.
Okay.
Superman. Good or bad?
Like, did I like him or not?
Good or bad?
Good. Good.
Okay.
That ruined I made so angry.
Lois Lane.
Terrible. Yeah. Fucking terrible.
Aquaman.
I mean, you only see him for like 3 seconds.
It was
but
Roman Reigns with a
terrible
spear. For that
yeah, right? It was fucking Khal Drogo. Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns with a spear.
Trident, but yeah.
Get it right.
Good?
No. Bad.
Oh, okay. Cyborg.
I mean, all of those, like, bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're
Eisenberg
just blue
Luthor.
Balls.
Luthor?
Good.
Are you kidding me?
Damn. Okay.
What? You're the one person. I swear to God, the one person. Are you just messing with me?
Doomsday.
Okay. You're messing with me.
Fucking terrible. Awful.
Okay. Thank you. I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Affleck.
I thought Affleck was fine.
Okay.
My problem with the Batman in this movie is that he's supposed to be older. He's supposed to be fucking seasoned. So he's going to have like limps and scar tissue.
But he did. That's why he wore the robot suit.
Sure. But then there's the scene where he invades the warehouse at the end and just fucking, you know, lays hat to all those dudes. And he's flying around like a fucking Olympic gymnast. Like, he's not Gabby Douglas. He's a fucking 45-year-old dude who's probably broken, like, every bone in his body.
Yeah, but he also, like, he can afford the surgeries that we can't.
Oh, my God. I can't believe. So I'm glad we brought this up because Alfred.
Tying back to the movie review now.
Alfred in this fucking movie is like Steve goddamn Jobs. He's like the greatest mechanic on Earth. He's repairing the Batmobile. He's
did they blend Lucius and Alfred?
They did, like, for sure.
Yeah, are you shitting me?
Oh yeah.
Oh my
absolutely.
God.
So not only is he's repairing Batman's ship, he goes and makes him a fucking omelet and espresso, and then he you know, is like cracking code for him in another scene. Like, he's just the ultimate. He's a better superhero than anyone else in the goddamn movie, and he's a fucking butler. And he's British.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, I think that the backstory of Alfred is that he was like CIA or something in Europe or something originally, right?
Really?
Like, is he wasn't just a butler. I could have sworn that was like the thing behind Alfred, at least one incarnation of Alfred.
Mm.
The good Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that Zack Snyder probably
didn't. I think he's just jealous. How come I don't have a dude that's like part Morgan Freeman that can fix my car and make my coffee?
Can you imagine how... Okay, if you had... Okay, on that note, sorry to stop the movie review right now.
I think
you,
we stopped it a while ago.
Yeah. If you had a butler that could specialize in two things, what would he do? Two things. Two of the most pain in the ass things that you never want to deal with in your life or figure out.
I would want him to have help with, like, the two things I would need help with. Okay. So, massage, because I can't really, like, fix my own back.
Okay.
And, I don't know, math.
Would he make a... Would you want a robot suit or a massage?
Would I want the massage or a robot suit? Well, now it's almost like, are you asking me, would I like to have super strength or a man touching me? And that's obvious.
Yeah, a man touching you. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the robot suit.
Well, Jeremy Irons, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say cooking, because, I mean, that would just make life so much easier.
Uh-huh.
And abortions.
Whoa. All right. Well, Christopher Lee was right about you.
And the Wayne family is done.
I mean, all you needed was a coat hanger. I mean, you don't need a butler for that.
Oh, not the handle of an umbrella? That would be...
I think for me it'd be sitting in traffic.
Well, now we know the edit point for this review, because that just went way too dark.
I think for
it's
me,
because he's British.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need an umbrella in the UK.
Or straight teeth.
So you liked the movie then? Is that what I'm getting from you?
No, this fucking movie was awful. Okay. Waste of time. Really, the only reason that I had to watch it, like I mentioned, big fan of both characters. You know what? I will say the bright spot in this movie, I thought, was Wonder Woman. I thought
Gal Gadot.
Yeah, not only is she just
Gatto.
Smoking hot, but I thought she like carried the character well, and they made her pretty badass. I mean, she is, you know, she's a fucking the queen of the Amazonians. But yeah, I thought that was the one bright spot was Wonder Woman. Everything else was just a thin veil of what could have been.
So I want to know, before you give that review, out of a 3-hour and 2-minute movie?
It certainly was.
Oh my God. Mm. So out of 182 minutes, how many minutes are good?
Maybe 10 to 15.
Oh, fucking shit. And would the 10 to 15 include like the fight, or what part did you like?
Are you kidding me?
I hated the fight between Batman and Superman.
What?
Like, that was just... It was so...
It was the only fun part.
Exactly. and it wasn't that good.
Okay.
Like, they could have made it so much better. Like, I mean, Superman would have just flicked him, destroyed the suit... And game over. Like,
if he did that, you'd be complaining about, like, what the hell? They trolled us. They advertised this big fight, and it ended in a second. So, You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
See, I don't think so, because I think they could have done how it's done in the comics and had a secondary character, like just had Alfred, because he does everything else in the movie.
Maybe.
Just pop Superman with the, you know, the kryptonite arrow that they built, and then, you know, that's how you're able to get on top of Superman, not design a fucking grenade that expels kryptonite gas.
Hmm.
That to me just, it was just bad.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. I'll say, like, the most enjoyable parts for me were Wonder Woman in the fight scene with Doomsday. I thought that was pretty awesome. And actually, I thought how, like, they ended up killing him was good, too, with Superman taking one in the chest. But, yeah, other than that, just not good.
So how
so many celebrities. There's too many good actors in this movie. Like, you can't find room for all of them.
Yeah, and I thought Joss Whedon could screw that up. Come to find out, Zack Snyder can do a lot worse with that.
Oh, yeah.
So how many quarters, if we're not breaking it down to nickels, how many does this thing cost?
I'm giving it one out of five.
Holy shit. John Allen, that is the lowest review we've had this entire season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
So that didn't... I don't even get like a...
Did you like the movie where Adam Sandler played himself as a chick more than this? I mean, my God.
I fortunately did not see Jack and Jill, I believe is the film you're referring to.
Oh, man. Which I don't know.
Probably so, I mean, hey, movie people that made Batman, Superman, at least he went to yours. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah. Actually, I illegally streamed it.
Okay, never mind.
So you got none of my money.
Sorry.
And this is John Allen's homeless movie reviews.
No.
not somebody else.
Hell no. You're
that name.
Put me on the sinking ship.
My last name is Gallagher.
Oh, my God.
Brian Gallagher.
So on that note, it sounds like that was pretty shitty. But something better. We got John Allen here.
Hooray.
John Allen, voice actor.
That was actually a little boy he kidnapped.
Get back in the... Oh, never mind.
It's Christopher. Christopher Lee's going to take care of him very well right now.
God damn, he's still in the corner. How did we...
Yeah, he's just hiding over there.
I told you I'm waiting for my Uber, and they're all busy.
You got to get out of
here.
Dude,
just bite the bullet and pay the surge price.
I'll make you bite a bullet.
Christopher, come on, man. You're not even supposed to be here. You died.
Yeah. God. We don't even have a mic for him. That's
so
the
aggressive.
Problem. That's the problem. So... We got a voice actor. You've done Dragon Ball Z before.
Briefly, yeah.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Technically.
Wrestling manager.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
Well, shoot. My guys didn't do so well on the last OCCW. Cold-Blooded lost the tag match, and Tony Reyes lost the heavyweight championship to Angel Atu. But it was, Empire Shall Strike Back,
How did the John Allen feel about that?
Oh, you know what? I hope you enjoy it. I really do. And I know because it's not going to be the cakewalk you think it is. Sometimes a title is easy to win, but it's much harder to keep it. Angel Atu, sleep well, my friend.
Damn.
I don't think he's sleeping well.
No.
I wouldn't.
So, John, you've done a shitload of stuff, man. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you for having me.
We got to talk about this, man. WWE draft.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a wrestling. You've been involved in this for what, 10 plus years now?
I wouldn't say that. My very, very first cup of coffee with this business was about 2009. I would say.
Okay.
Participating in indie shows.
5+ years. Mm-hmm. You've been in this much more than anybody that we've ever met.
I think
met
we
before.
Need Alfred for that math.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
good callback.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. God damn it, Brian. Every time with my math. No. So you've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you, WWE draft happened. Any impressions on that? How do you think that thing works out? I mean, is that a good thing, a bad thing for the business?
Well, I do think the fact that SmackDown is going live will be a boost for SmackDown's ratings because... A taped show is just a show. A live show is an event because even though it probably won't, there's like that 1% chance that something could happen that isn't necessarily supposed to, maybe. Yeah. And it's also, you're not reading the spoilers because it was taped 3 or 4 days ago and those got leaked.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's what can bring it back to it being viewed as, like, you know, a sport. I mean, and, you know, not, no offense to wrestlers out there, great athletes, but I think that's something that's been taken away is, you know, of course you have the pay-per-views that are live, but the actual,
yeah,
you know, during the week shows.
It costs a lot more to produce.
Sure.
And in these days where more and more people are cutting the cord and going down to, like, the Hulus and the Raws, less people in TV are finding it cost-effective to do live stuff like that. But, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I feel like I agree with, like, Jim Ross, where you really have to give it about a year to give it a grade, and it's hard to base on. I mean, it just started, you know?
Yeah.
It just started. And I think the one thing that is good about this, and you probably have an insight to this more than anybody else, but splitting up the brands gives these guys a break, at least a day, more than they ever had before. I think these guys are roadies. They do these gigs, you know.
No, they do, because you're not just, you got to remember, like, what you see on TV isn't all they're doing. They're doing the shows that aren't televised.
Yeah, the black mats.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's, I think that the main upside for the talent is that with it being divided, you have, hopefully, you know, because it's such a controlled environment where they want people to break out, but they don't let anybody get over unless your name's Cena or Roman. But there's a little bit more of a chance when, you know, you only have so many guys on each show.
That's exactly what I would equate it to. I mean, if anybody's thinking about this, and, like, you don't have to know wrestling to understand what's happening, but
sure,
basically what's happening is
big,
like,
fish, smaller pond syndrome. Everybody knows what that means.
Exactly. And yeah. I mean, you're increasing the competition. Imagine if you were playing a recreational league or something like that, and all of a sudden they decided to split that league in half.
Yeah.
You've got much more spotlight on you being able to do well with what you do, and I think that's just going to increase the product at the end of the day.
Yep. I just am really excited for the PED division.
The what?
Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
The Extreme Rules division.
I think Brock and Roman are
because
the first two
Because that's
two
what's
picks.
Happened now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you see that. You have, and I think that's what we need to kind of talk about too, everybody. We've got a pay-per-view event that's coming up this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be after this episode releases or whatever, but Roman Reigns is already substance violation.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar's done two now. I mean, not in the vein of professional wrestling or whatever, but does that mess up this match at all?
Well, are they still advertising Brock versus Randy?
Yeah, it's Brock versus Landy.
Then that's a go, I guess, because he, if I understand it correctly, after the fact, they're finding a wellness policy violation from UFC. It's not a wellness violation from WWE.
Okay, right. Okay.
I was just going to say, because the test is being administered by UFC, not WWE.
So it would be like, you know.
So it's an internal audit kind of process that's catching it or whatever, and there's
like,
no
I'm firing you for something you did at your other job. Like, it wouldn't, I can see how that wouldn't really work out.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And of course, they're going to try and fucking keep Brock Lesnar on the card as
well. I mean, especially
possible
after the win, you know, at UFC. I mean, my God, he's your, him and Cena are like, not even Cena. I mean, they push him so much that, you know, he's on that level, but Brock is really the main draw of the show.
I mean, it's like I try and compare this with people who aren't, you know, really familiar, but I compare it to, like, Bo Jackson playing football and baseball.
100%. Sure. 100%.
You know? You're switching sports.
Yeah.
Within a month.
Yeah.
Within a month. I mean, you're already training for the other sport as you're still doing well in the previous sport.
Right. Yeah. And people say, like, oh, well, training's training. It's like, no. Training for an MMA fight versus professional wrestling, completely different.
Yeah, of course.
Not even close.
And with storylines and things like that, I guess I got to ask you guys this. Like, he's coming back with Randy Orton. Randy Orton's returning off of, what, like a year and a half out
or
so?
How long has he been gone? A while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been gone for a while. And is that the right... Is that the proper writing to give? I guess, like, that's what I would ask you guys.
Is Randy the right opponent?
Is Randy the right opponent? Because Brock Lesnar completely, like, dismantled this guy in quote-unquote a real sport that they just, I mean, it's just monsters and they're, you know, kicking the shit out of each other. But do you transfer that character or that specimen or whatever the hell they call that over to a professional, like a performance sport, and then compete them against somebody that's hasn't shown up for a while.
Well, in that regard, I mean, there's really no win situation because they're all, you know, performers, not UFC fighters. So what you're saying about Randy, you could apply to anybody on that roster.
I guess because you can't really bank on the inevitable end of them doing something outside of the
profession. See how it's a spectacle because even though I don't necessarily agree with how overpushed Randy Orton was for a while, he was somebody that they put kind of on that same Cena level for a long time, and he's been gone a long time. So there's the intrigue of seeing Randy Orton again, period, and there's the intrigue, I guess, you know, in theory, of Randy Orton having this match against Lesnar since Lesnar came back from UFC the first time. I'm sure, because they're both from that Ohio Valley Wrestling class of 2002, I'm sure they faced each other before Brock.
Both blew up.
Yeah.
Pretty big main.
They have to have, at least on house shows. Yeah,
I 100%
agree. But this is the first time they've had a big advertised marquee fight since they've both become the brands that they each are.
Yeah.
So who else can you really put in that spot? You know, you've already done a million matches with Undertaker. You've done the matches with Cena. You did the match with Roman. You did the match with Dean Ambrose, and it was what it was. Seth Rollins. I mean, who else is there
to fight Brock?
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, unless the Wyatt family starts turning on him, or something, like that, unless it's like a
and I
like
know
an
they were,
outnumbered source mm-hmm. that is now poaching upon Brock. It totally makes sense. You can't. The roster's done.
And I know they were building towards Bray and Brock at one point, but I think that let's save that for another day. I don't see Lesnar not going over in this match, and I don't really personally have a problem with him going over Randy, and I just hope that at least the match will be fun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do you think, I guess with this Battleground thing, Roman returning off of this HGH thing.
Oh, is he finally?
He's coming
was that
back.
30 days?
Yeah, so he's coming back
Dang
for Battleground.
It's a quick 30 days.
I missed it. I didn't even watch. I'm so tired of the overpushing of Roman, and this whole time he had the suspension, I could have maybe tried to enjoy it, and I lost my opportunity.
Dude, you would have been a candy shopper this last month.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so he's coming back, I think, in the next week or so.
Who are they putting him against?
I don't know. I think he's just set to come back.
Okay.
Do you think that that's going to impact?
He's just
going to
shadow wrestle
finish
by himself.
Well, I mean, like that, you could do a JBO or. But do you think that may impact a clean finish?
Oh, do you think he would be
Orton
involved
and
in that
Lesnar
match?
Yeah. Do you think that? Do you think that this is the opportunity to finally turn Roman Reigns heel? Because you have two likable people that are actually coming back and fighting. You have somebody that has a checkered past. Not so checkered, but I mean, you have people literally shitting on him in the industry that are likable. Seth Rollins, things like that.
Yeah.
They're trying to coach him. I think, from what my gut's telling me, I feel a heel turn coming more,
you know,
more than
ever. It's very hard to answer because there was a time and a day when this company, because it needed to in order to survive, would listen to its audience and book based upon that. Vince Russo has gone on record as saying that he would have turned Roman heel when Roman won the Royal Rumble and people
and
were
Rock
just booing
out
him out of the building. Yep. He says like he would have called an audible, he would have let a referee know, hey, have Roman flip off the fans while they're booing him out of the building, and then that would have been the time. But they're so stubborn these days.
Oh,
they did everything
absolutely
they could to derail Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and both of those guys were money. For whatever reason, they believe that Roman is the guy. They have been too very much to a fault committed to having him as Cena Part 2.
Yeah.
So I don't know, because it's almost like admitting defeat to finally turn him heel, even as much as it would make sense and maybe make money. It feels so much like they're out of touch with the audience and that they would rather be right than be successful a lot of the time.
Sounds like Vince McMahon.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Roman Reigns, I can't turn him heel. People love him.
That's what
I'm
think
jacking
it is,
off.
Is I think he relies upon like the emotional response to shitty writing. Like, and that's at the end of the day, that's not
He's gone on record, and I can't say when or where, but somebody quoted him as saying, like, look, I would rather, you know, that I do what I want to do rather than give the, you know, I don't know. That's,
yeah,
it's just so weird.
The John Allen of the
I'm never getting booked ever again.
Don't worry, no one listens to this. You're safe.
Will be like, aren't you the guy on that soda show that said I was a dummy? I don't recall saying the word dummy, but I implied it, yes.
Brother, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks, yeah,
it was a blast to have you, as always. When's the next stop down in San Diego?
Well, actually, I got to come back here. I've got a cast read for a thing that I might be attached to on the 7th. And then on the 9th, the reason I got this beard during like the hottest part of the year is because I booked... they're doing a documentary about Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo, who founded San Diego.
Yeah, the National Monument.
Yeah. So, and that's where the audition was, actually. It was really cool. I don't think I'd been there either ever since I was a kid. But they recreated the Con Salvador, which was the ship he was on. And I'm going to be away at sea the 9th through the 16th shooting this documentary about him.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's going to be trippy because, you know, no Wi-Fi, and I'll be on a boat for a week and a half.
Yeah, holy crap.
And then as soon as I get off, it's time to do the 48-hour film project here in San Diego again. So
that's right. Yeah, you're going to be grinded, brother.
It's August is going to be busy, and then, you know, I turn another year older on the 20th, and then Freak Show Wrestling in Vegas on the 27th. It's going to be nuts.
And if you haven't checked it out, too, you got a killer Almost Famous clip going on right now.
Well, yeah, because I was for the 2016 San Diego Film Awards, which I was nominated for Best Actor.
Congrats, brother.
Thank you. Didn't
they
get it.
They fucked up and gave it to somebody else.
they
called the wrong name out.
They McMahoned it.
I don't know, man. Interesting choices.
McMahon.
They Steve Harvey'd it.
Yeah, McMahon. Who knows? But whatever. It was an honor to be nominated, and you know, I was shown many times throughout the night because they asked if I would do a couple of. They did a to promote the show. They shot spoofy recreations of famous films that have been shot in San Diego. So I was in one from Return of the Killer Tomatoes, where I was like the SAG rep that interrupts. I don't know if you guys remember the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there's a part where they're like, they break the fourth wall.
Literally,
like,
comes in, yeah. And yeah, stops everything, yeah, and gets, like, the paperwork out.
Yeah, he spoke on film. That's $400. In yep. fact, I spoke on film. I get paid. You know, like, there was that bit. And then we shot a recreation of, like, the final scene from Almost Famous. I was up for, like, the main guy in that, but then... the director, she said, like, you know, with the beard, you looked just like Jason Lee's character. And I said, I looked at the picture. I was like, yeah, holy crap. I look like I forget the guy's name, but something BB, I think, was Jason's character in that.
The better character.
Well, yeah. So I had the darn song stuck in my head for like a week. Like, hold me closer, time to dance.
And we'll put that on the webpage too, because you got to check that out. I mean, it is rad, and I mean, you can totally tell that it's the announcers too. That I mean, they're enthused about showing that clip too during the show and things like that. You could totally tell, like, it is they're proud of it.
It was fun to, you know, because I'm friends with so many of the people that we did these with, like Kristen and Randy.
You
and,
can't fake that, man.
No, Mark Atkinson, he'd kill me if I didn't mention his name.
Yeah. You can't fake it, though, man.
No.
Like, I mean, when people are proud of what they put out, I can't tell you everything that you've ever put out, man. We can all feel it. So, glad to see you still doing well, brother.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, glad to see you back in Comic-Con doing your thing here. Man, let's have you on again sooner.
Who
sooner
knows?
Than later.
We'll see where I'm at in a year, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we'll
but,
catch
but
you.
But before then, yeah, we'll do like a quarterly review.
Can we maybe?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, maybe we can fish you off the ship after August.
Yeah, we could do that. I got a couple days before it's movie time again. Yeah.
Boom.
There shower and a podcast recording? Not necessarily in that order.
Sure, I probably will need a shower.
Brian always sees the shower store, I guess, first.
We'll see.
No. So, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. John Allen, thanks again for cruising down, brother. Check him out on his social media. You want to tease that one more time?
Yeah, facebook.com/JohnAllenVO is the fan page. Twitter is @KingJohnAllen. Instagram is, I know they should all be the same. I screwed up. Instagram is @TheJohnAllen, and then YouTube is The Real John Allen. It's all over the place. Put up a link.
Just Google Jen Allen.
As soon as you find one that yeah, they'll all stream together. So, yeah check them out.
Go to johnallencomedy.com and all the links are there. That helps too.
Boom. There we are. Brother, thanks for coming on again.
Off to Comic Con.
Dan, we missed you this week, dude.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Actually, shoot, I got you guys some gifts, actually.
Oh, shit. Oh. Hey, John's coming
on
right
now. We'll keep Dan's.
Yeah,
I know. For all I know, because you guys still live down here, you might have these already, I was dining at one of my favorite places to come to in San Diego. It was the Lucha Libre Taco Shop. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
And then they gave you some Frisbees.
Oh, holy
and
crap.
I got awesome. Three because I know we're missing a member of our crew here today. So.
Dude, thank you, brother.
This show's gone surprisingly well. I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah. Go figure. I don't know if we're missing somebody or something
Fuck
like
you,
that.
Dan.
Nah.
Yeah.
Hey. So, and he was very pivotal in bringing me back because he was the one that reached out. So thank you very much,
dude,
for doing that.
Yeah, he told me about it, and I didn't even know you were in San Diego.
Yeah.
So.
Dan, you're just going to be our booker from now on, just our management.
So if you haven't gotten services from Secretary Dan Perez, tune in because we will be teasing his ad for the next few weeks. Dan Perez, Secretary. John Allen, thanks for coming on again, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you, listeners.
Yep. We will catch you on the flip side. Thanks for listening to episode 21.
Bye-bye.